We're now going to have the Bible reading. There's two short Bible readings. The first one is a familiar one, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the second Bible reading is from chapter 53, verse 2 to 5. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Isaiah. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we reflect on the chapters that we're about to look at, and on the wonderful gift that we have in Christ Jesus, we pray that you would quieten our hearts and our minds now, that we might sit in your presence, that we might reflect on who you are and on what you have done for us, Lord. And Lord, personally, I pray that you would guide my words, that they would bring you the glory and honor that you deserve. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas is a season of celebration, a time when families and friends gather together to enjoy all sorts of celebrations, exchanging gifts, and sharing meals. But for many of us, it's also a time of weariness, sadness, and loneliness. Some might be exhausted after the weight of all of the different preparations that have had to happen for today. All the cooking, buying presents, and hosting families. Others might feel the deep ache of missing a loved one who is no longer with us. Or the pain of a strained or broken relationship that keeps those we love away. While some can feel much lonelier at this time of year, despite all of the busyness of the season. These emotions that we experience mirror the experiences of the people of Judah back in 800 BC, after they had been taken into exile in Babylon, where they were moved from a time of hope and joy living as God's people to now find themselves instead filled with emptiness, loss, and uncertainty. For many, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. But for others, Christmas can be a difficult time, as celebrations that are meant to bring joy only remind them of what they are missing. Just as the exiled Israelites longed for comfort and restoration, so too many of us long for peace and hope during this season. In the prophet Isaiah's time, the people of Judah had little to celebrate. The people had been through political turmoil, invasion, and then exile. Their cities lay in ruins. Their leaders had failed them. They were weary, broken, and longing for God's comfort. But in this time of despair that looked completely hopeless, Isaiah brings a message of hope. The good news that would point God's people forward to the ultimate gift of salvation in Jesus. Even when life feels overwhelming, God wants to renew our strength. He wants to lift our burdens and restore our hope. This is the good news of Christmas, the good news that our Saviour has been sent to save this broken world. And so whether we're excited about our Christmas celebrations today, or weary from life's demands, burdened by loss, or longing for hope, Isaiah's words remind us of God's comfort and the salvation which is found in his promise, God's promise to those who trust in him. Christmas is not just a celebration. It is the good news of hope for the hopeless and comfort for those who are downcast. Christmas is a secure and certain hope that offers us joy and peace that cannot be taken away. So today we're looking at chapters 40 through to chapter 55 of Isaiah. And in chapter 40, we are reminded that the good news of Christmas is that God has brought comfort to the weary. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah had warned the people of Judah about their rebellion against the living God and their misplaced dependence on the other nations around them. But sadly, even after receiving all of these warnings, they still didn't listen. And so they were eventually taken into exile in Babylon. The temple of the Lord was destroyed, the city plundered, and its people were taken away to live as slaves in a foreign land. But as all of Judah's hopes for the future lay in ruins, God comforted his people and pointed them forward to a hope beyond what they were going through. Isaiah 40, verse 1 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." The people were now living a long way away from home, a long way away from God's temple, and they probably felt a long way away from God. They had lost so much. But in their time of sorrow, God provides them with comfort and hope. Chapter 40, verse 3 says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." God himself was coming to be with his people. And if verse 3 sounds familiar, then it's because it's the same words that John the Baptist quotes in Matthew chapter 3 as he baptized people in preparation for Jesus' earthly ministry. God was getting ready to be born as a man and walk among his people. As verse 5 says, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it." Later, the Apostle John would write in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The people of Judah thought that God had forgotten them. They were living away from Jerusalem, away from the temple of the Lord, away from the promised land, and as far as they were concerned, away from the living God. But despite their fear, God heard their cries. He knew about their pain, and so he comforted them in their time of distress. And in words that sound very similar to Luke 2 and the good news that's being shared, God says in Isaiah 40, verse 9, "You will bring good news, good tidings to Zion. Go up a mountain, a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." God was announcing a time when the people of Judah would be returned to the promised land. But more importantly than that, He was announcing a time when God would dwell among his people, a time when he would shepherd those who trust in him. As verse 11 says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He knew the pain and the struggles that the people of Judah were experiencing while they're in exile in Babylon. He knew their loss, the loss of being away from the place that they loved. And he knows the loss of those missing loved ones this Christmas. He knows the feelings of loneliness that we experience. And he knows the pain of broken relationships that keep those we love away. And yet the good news of Christmas is that Jesus entered our world in the flesh as a man to comfort the weary and to give hope to those who would otherwise be without hope. In chapters 42 to 53, we are reminded that the good news of Christmas is that God has sent a servant to save this broken world. In chapter 42, verse 1, God says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." At Christmas, we celebrate the good news that even though we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard of good, even though we've all turned our backs on him and failed to trust him, he hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't given us the judgment that we deserve. The people of Judah were in exile because they had sinned and rebelled against the living God. They had turned their back on him. They had refused to listen to the warnings that he had given them time and time again through Isaiah. But despite these failures, and despite our failures, God sends us a message of comfort and hope. The message that he has sent his chosen servant to save those who trust in him. Chapter 49, verse 5, shows us that this servant's mission is to restore and to gather God's broken people. It says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob." We heard earlier, Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and so that's just referring to Israel, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. Verse 6 goes on to explain that God has made his servant to be a light for the Gentiles, that's anyone who is not a Jew, that they may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Sadly, this salvation would come at a very, very high price. God's chosen servant, the Savior that we are here to celebrate today, did what none of us were able to do. He obeyed God the Father completely, despite the cost. And he did this in order to bring glory to God the Father and to make salvation possible for those who trust in him. Chapter 50, verse 5 says, "The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back." Those are the words of God's chosen servant. Jesus, God's chosen servant, willingly took our sin upon himself and paid for it on the cross. He stood between us and the judgment that we deserve. As Isaiah 53:5 reminds us, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That in verse 10 goes on to say, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. At Christmas, we remember the good news that God sent his chosen servant into this broken world to make salvation possible for those who trust in him. And lastly, in chapters 54 and 55, we're being reminded that the good news of Christmas is that God made an everlasting covenant with all those who put their faith in his Son. Chapter 54, verse 10 says, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." The good news of Christmas is unshakable, an unshakable, unfailing promise that has been made to those who trust in God's chosen servant, Jesus, the everlasting King. And it's an everlasting covenant because, unlike the old covenant that Judah lived under, this covenant is not based on how well we are able to obey, but on how well God's chosen servant obeyed on our behalf. It's chapter 54, verse 13 says, "All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace." The good news of Christmas is that because God's love for us, because of his sacrifice in our place, he has made an everlasting covenant, an everlasting promise to those who trust in him. One that isn't based on our performance or on our past, but on what Jesus has done for us. When he suffered in our place, so that we can know his unfolding love and his everlasting peace. God wants us all to know this amazing comfort and peace. That's why he says in chapter 55, verse 1, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Verse 3 continues, "Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." God is saying that salvation comes through faith in God's promise. And that faith comes by hearing and believing this promise. As you'd all be familiar, Romans 10 says the same thing. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And the good news of Christmas, the good news that a Savior has been born, is good news for every single nation. And people of every single background. Because Isaiah says in chapter 55, verse 5, "Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor." And Isaiah then warns us all to seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So even though Christmas can be a difficult time of the year for some, the good news of Christmas is good news for everyone, because the good news of Christmas brings lasting comfort and hope. It's the good news that a Savior has been born, God's chosen servant, Jesus, and that through his obedience on our behalf, his sacrifice in our place, God has made an everlasting covenant an everlasting promise of eternal life to those who trust in him. Let's give him thanks now as we pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful hope, the wonderful message that we have to share, the wonderful message that we celebrate today at Christmas. We thank you that even though we have fallen short of your standard of good, even though we can't live up to what you have called us to live up to, you have fulfilled the requirement of the law on our behalf when you sent your Son to live, suffer, and die in our place and rise again so that we could have hope beyond the grave, hope beyond the brokenness of this world. And so, Lord, we pray that as we continue our celebrations today, that they would be centered around this wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those who are struggling this Christmas with loss and grief and stress. And we pray that you would comfort them with the wonderful hope that can only be found in Jesus. So it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.